Jesus. Doc, hang on. Doc, are you listening? Oh, fuck. Doc?
Yes, sir.
Oh, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Thank heavens. And I'm playing the music. I'm not sure why the music's not playing to start the show.
Do you want me to sing it?
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Do you know why? Because Don wasn't here, and I'm yelling out to him.
Oh, can you turn it down?
Shut up, Don.
All right, and it's coming on. I'm going to get right back to where we started from.
Doc, you're very loud. And now, just a minute, why is it like, where am I? Fucking
Doc, is everything okay there, Don?
Speak to the Doc.
Hey, Don, everything okay there?
Yeah, good, mate, good. He's all upset because he can't do two things at once, doing the control panel.
I tell you why I was upset, Don, because I said...
Sam, stop talking over Don. Don was talking. So, Don, just explain, what kind of mood is he in today, mate? Break it down. I want to know every detail.
Yeah, but listen, he's been in a fantastic mood the last couple of weeks because he's on drugs for his ankle. Pain has gone.
That is just...
And you can at least talk to him. Don. He doesn't chop your head off.
Don.
I hope he gets it amputated.
Has anyone parked in his car spot?
Shit, how loud is that?
No, he's pinched mine today.
Is the homeless lady still sleeping rough and asking for cigarettes?
Yes, but she has moved under shelter. She was sleeping on the footpath, but she's now gone closer to the... Well, she's gone undercover or under show.
What about while we're going through the checklist of things that annoy Sam, has he spotted any dogs at cafes?
No, but he is upset about the graffiti on the Westgate Bridge.
Oh, Doc, we've got we're 3 years and $3 billion over budget to build the Westgate Freeway Extension Tunnel Extension. And they've put these sound battens up along the freeway, fantastic-looking pieces of art. And as they put them up, the next day they're graffitied beyond recognition. And I said, rather than having dog parks and bike tracks, if the government threw some money, or the council, at really and buttonholing the dog's vomit and the pieces of snot who go around defacing the city, we would be far better off. It is out of control, Doc.
Well, look, I'm going to leave you to deal with that. I mean, graffiti, there is some art. I mean, for Sydney siders who go to Melbourne, you need to excuse this because this is going to sound very touristy. But when we go to Melbourne, we can't help but go down the laneways and have a look at some of the artwork and stuff like that. And some of those bits of art are very impressive, right? And people, and it's a tourist magnet because people go there to have a selfie taken and everything else, and there's a place for it. But when you just write up your tag or your name somewhere, I mean, how sad can your life be that you're going to get your rocks off by driving past that piece of road or a wall somewhere and have a look at your tag or your name written up on a wall? It is like a dog marking its territory by taking a piss.
Correct, Doc. And those laneways in Melbourne, they are designated places for people to graffiti them. That's what the term is, graffiti. The people who do the other stuff are called taggers. So the graffiti, they've given carte blanche to people in various laneways to completely show their skills and their art. And they are a tourist attraction, but that's under the auspices of people who allow them to daub their buildings, as opposed to the public freeways are a disgrace. And why we don't do something about it rather than all the other things we worry about is beyond me, Doc.
Now, can I share a story with you guys? Because we've got a state election coming up at the end of March. I'm just wondering how you deal with this in the lead up to the election. There's a former rugby league player called Terry Campese, who is related to the famous rugby union player David Campese. Anyway, Terry Campese was a rugby league player, played for the Canberra Raiders, and he's put his hand up to become a politician. He's running for parliament. We've seen sports stars do this before. But today, one of the newspapers has published a video of a backyard party involving Terry Campese. And you know what they had in this backyard gathering, this barbecue? They had
hookers,
a spanking station.
Yeah. Who were they spanking?
Well, everyone was dressed up, right? And there were G-strings, and there were people drinking shots of alcohol off some ladies' breasts. There were toys hanging out of a tree. And when I say toys, I'm not talking about, you know, Peppa Pig or Bluey. I'm talking about toys that you would purchase from an adult shop.
Yeah.
And anyway, poor old Terry Campese, there he is dressed up as a police officer with a police hat. And there's all sorts of other kind of, you know, bondage and fetish material and stuff like that going on as well. I mean, it's each to their own. I mean, we have backyard barbecues at our place, and I have set up a drink station before, because you don't want to be fetching everyone a drink every 5 minutes. So you set up a drink station, you got beer there, you got champagne and wine and things like that. But I've never set up a spanking station before at my backyard barbecue.
What about,
maybe
what
I'm not
about
really living life.
What about toys in the trees? You would have had those, wouldn't you?
Butt plugs.
Not in the trees.
No.
Why would you put them in the trees?
Just by way of, if Terry is thinking of having another one of them, you couldn't get in touch with us, could you? I'll drive up immediately. Shit, how delightful. Now, so he is just fitting in with modern society. Did you see the Grammys or the BAFTAs or whatever they're called? Did you see the opening dance of that where LGBTQ community did a dance and they were simulating urinating onto the people who were doing the dancing. Did you see that?
Mate, I must have been rearranging my sock drawer while that award ceremony was on. I did see a big performance that was based around Satan, that a few people
that's
got
it.
Their knickers in a knot
no, that's
with
it.
In the United States, but I didn't see any public urination
no, mate,
factors going on.
The people had their backsides bared to the audience, and there were streams of water potentially or mimicking being urinated on. That's what they said it was. They said that on the television.
Are you sure you weren't watching old episodes of The Footy Show?
Mate, you know this is true.
No, I'm not. I'm not discounting it, but Don, let me bring you in. Isn't that the kind of vaudeville, some of the kind of outrageous stuff that Sam used to get up to on the AFL Footy Show back in the day?
What, urinating on people? Just turn it up. So Terry Campese, has he been roundly condemned for this? How long ago was that?
No. Well, no, it's just come out today, but you know what I did? When I was dealing with it on radio this morning, I just played the old Benny Hill music. You know Benny Hill, because he's got that iconic theme song that he used to play. And he'd be chasing someone around in their knickers or in their underwear or whatever. So that's the treatment I gave it. In other words, this is not a big political scandal. It's just embarrassing, I suppose, for Terry. And the message is, if you're having a backyard barbecue and if you've got toys hanging in the tree, and if you've got your mate dressed up in a police outfit, and if there's a spanking station, can you put your mobile phones away?
Well, how long ago was this?
I don't know, but the video has just been splashed across
the
Daily Telegraph. It looked a little bit like that party you had on the boat recently with all of the people from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
No, but my point about it is, Doc, if it was last week, you wouldn't think Terry should be involved in stuff like that. But if it was 10 years ago, I mean...
No. It's recent, but also it's a private matter. No one's hurt. I mean, if you're dragging people off the street and spanking them without their permission, then you've got a consent problem. But if everyone's happy being spanked, then spank away.
Can I ask you something?
Let me just ask Don. Do you ever have a spank, Don?
I don't think you've pronounced that word correctly. I don't think it starts with an SP.
Now, listen, you're a learned man across a lot of things, and I would like to know what black sovereignty is. It's spelled B-L-A-K, sovereignty.
Yes.
Can you explain what black sovereignty is to me and the movement?
All right. Well, this has all come to light because of the Voice to Parliament proposal, and part of that proposal would see Indigenous Australians recognised in our constitution, which I think 99% of the country thinks is a no-brainer. Of course they should be. But people like Lydia Thorpe, who was until this week a Green senator, they are concerned, and Lydia's concerned, that by including Indigenous Australians in the constitution and having an Indigenous advisory group called The Voice baked into the constitution, therefore Indigenous Aboriginal Australians would be giving up their sovereignty. Now, this is a message that they were yelling loudly at those Invasion Day protests that were happening on Australia Day. But bizarrely, when Anthony Albanese was asked about it a few days ago in an interview with The Guardian, he wouldn't answer the question. He said, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. And I said at the time, I mean, Albo, you're the Prime Minister. You're trying to get this thing across the line called The Voice, which was your idea and it's turned into an absolute mess. If you've got Aboriginal people who are worried about their sovereignty, then answer the question for them, which his Indigenous Affairs Minister Linda Burney has now had to do to clean up Albo's mess and say, no, your sovereignty won't be impacted by any changes to the constitution.
But what does sovereignty mean? What does sovereignty mean?
Well, I better be careful before I go kind of, you know, giving you a haphazard definition over the phone, but I think it means that they're sovereign to this nation, which means, is sovereign means superior. I think sovereign is kind of a Latin derivative of the word superior. So it means that they don't feel like they have to answer to anyone else because they are the original inhabitants and custodians of this land.
Well, therefore, it means that we don't recognise
the white man's constitution. We don't recognise the white man's parliament. This is, you know, my interpretation of what people are saying from the Aboriginal
community.
That's fair
enough. So what, they just go on and have laws of their own and don't have to conform to the majority of how this... we only became a sovereign country or a federation in 1901.
Yeah. And look, I actually respect Lydia Thorpe.
Do you?
For leaving the Greens. And I made the comment yesterday on air that, you know, Lydia Thorpe and I have very different views of the world. I think it would be fair to say that I have been one of her harshest critics. However, when she bailed on Adam Bandt, who was trying to mansplain to her about his view of these Indigenous issues and his view of The Voice, and he was essentially saying to Lydia Thorpe, if you don't toe the line, if you don't shut up, if you don't know your place, then you're not going to be able to speak out on behalf of the Greens anymore on The Voice or on Indigenous issues. I think all power to Lydia Thorpe for telling him to go and get stuffed and saying, right, well, I'll go and stand on my own 2 feet. I don't need Adam Bandt. I don't need the Greens. I want to speak for myself. And if I ever went into Parliament, which I'll never do, I wouldn't want someone telling me what I can say and what I can't say, which is why I love coming on this podcast or having my own radio show on 2GB, because no one tells you what you can say and what you can't say. And in the political parties, including the Greens, you've got this niff-nuff Adam Bandt saying, oh, no, you can say this and you can't say that. Well, I'm sorry, but Adam Bandt is non-Indigenous. I think an Indigenous person like Lydia Thorpe has got a right to ask questions about a proposal that's aimed at helping Indigenous Australians. And this is a major problem for Albo. He's got high court judges who are saying the plan you're putting forward could lead to years of litigation. He's got Indigenous Australians who are saying we're not going to support your white man's law. And in the middle, millions of people who Albo's got to convince to vote yes in October this year. So he's got a real fight on his hands at the moment. And the more he refuses to answer questions, the more The Voice looks doomed.
Now, you've cleared up sovereignty for me, but they have spelt black, B-L-A-K. What is the significance of spelling it in that way? Do you know?
I've always looked at that and scratched my head, to be honest with you, Don. I guess it's another way of saying we don't accept your language or your law.
It's a phonetic way to spell it, and we're not going into the Anglo-Saxon way of Oxford Dictionary spelling. We're spelling it how we want.
Yeah, and I think we first saw it through Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter is B-L-A-C-K, but during that... the word black, B-L-A-K, was being used by some activists and some demonstrators. I don't know, mate. It's just another way of saying the word black.
Now, Doc, I noticed there was an ageist complaint that I became aware of. What was that about? Someone who was ticked off at being said they were out of business at 67 or something.
Yeah, what it is, there is a commentator who would be described by some as a loony left commentator by the name of Jane Carrow. She's a talking head who pops up on the ABC and on other channels. She writes books and she writes articles. And anyway, her husband went into a bakery last week, right? He's aged in his 60s. He went into the bakery, and when it was his time to order, the person behind the counter, the shop assistant, who was kind of middle-aged or, you know, young, said, "And what can I do for you, young man?" Right? That was it. So a little bit of humour. In other words, this guy's aged in his 60s.
Yep.
The shop attendant is younger, let's say aged in 20s or 30s. And to show a little bit of humour, the shop assistant said to Jane Carrow's husband, "And what can I get for you today, young man?" Right? Off the back of that, he told his wife that he was humiliated and offended because, of course, it's 2023, so we get offended by everything. He goes home and tells his wife about it. She then sits down at the computer and taps out a newspaper column about it, which was published in The Age and in the Sydney Morning Herald. When I got hold of it yesterday, we just couldn't believe it. And so we started making fun of Jane yesterday, just saying, seriously, look in the mirror and have a look at your first world problems. And there was no offence intended. The bloke wasn't ridiculing the guy or his age. He was just trying to make conversation. And this podcast has exposed this problem so many times when well-meaning, nice, friendly Aussies who just like a little bit of larrick and humour are misrepresented and turned into people who've done something wrong. And can you believe it? You should go and have a listen on the 3AW website because DD Dunleavy then interviewed Jane Carrow yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of saying, you know what, Jane, I've reflected on this and I'm an absolute idiot, Jane doubles down and tries to explain that a shop assistant saying, "What can I do for you today, young man," equals ageism. You've got to go and hear it to believe it. And where's the sense of humour? What happened to the larrikin personality that used to define Australia? Now people are too worried to say anything because they're worried that someone's going to get offended.
That's just contrived virtuosity. That is just playing the game to be noticed. That is ridiculous. Maybe
she was short on ideas for a newspaper column and she thought, all right, I'll turn this one into it. But, you know, just ask for a finger bun or a vanilla slice or a sausage roll or a pie. That's all you need to ask for. How good's a vanilla slice? Do you guys have them?
Or a finger bun.
Yeah, but which vanilla slice do you mean? The one that...
Snot blocks, they're called.
The ones from Sorrento? Blocks, you know? The ones from Sorrento?
Oh, Sorrento.
Oh, yeah, I go to Sorrento to get my vanilla slice.
Well, that's where the best vanilla slices are.
Him and Jody come down on the red eye to get the snot blocks down at Sorrento, Don, you fucking idiot.
Now, we got an invitation. Would you like to come out on the... what is it, the Comanche?
Comanche, the boat.
The boat on a Wednesday afternoon. We've just got an invitation to come to Sydney, John and I, to have a sail
what
on
day?
The on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, give me the date. Get the date.
Well, you're the king of contra. I was wondering whether you could organise it for us.
Organise what? Airfare?
Well, getting up there.
What are you asking him?
You want a free airfare?
No, we don't.
No, we're offering an invitation to come on the Comanche with us.
I will drive up.
I will be able to entertain you. All I need is the date, and then I can immediately give you an answer based on my diary. And if it's something that is insignificant, I'll move it out of the way. I desperately want to see you blokes, and I would love to host you in Sydney. And I can also arrange some other activities for while you're here as well. So as soon as one of you digs out the date, you give me the date and I'll confirm.
See if you can get hold of Terence for us and he can have one of those spanking parties for us while we're
up we'll get Terry out on Comanche and we'll get the spanking station at sea. That'd be fantastic.
We can spank ourselves we can spank ourselves around the harbour.
Would you guys come for a night or would you just come for the day?
Don and I'll do a road trip. I'll drive him up. We'll come up and we'll stay there for a couple of days, Doc.
But, mate, I think how long's the drive from Melbourne to Sydney?
Oh, it'll be 5 minutes. It'll be a scintillating drive.
It'll be scintillating. It takes 12 hours.
I don't want to be reporting on some kind of, you know,
domestic
murder-suicide or road rage domestic incident between Don and Sam along the freeway.
No, Don, I'll drive the 59 Cadillac up. I'll put Don in the back and he can sit there.
No, we're not going there.
That is a beautiful car.
The Mustang,
shut up, Don.
The Mustang Boss.
Now, Doc, this is by way of extension. I noticed that in 1859 they found in Victoria here a thing called the Welcome Stranger, which is the biggest gold nugget ever found in the world. It weighed 92 kilograms.
Yep.
This is by way of asking, do you buy Jody her jewellery, or when you got married did you buy her an expensive ring, or do you think that's just superfluous? You'd buy her things that she could actually use.
No, I did. I went along. I'm lucky enough that I've got a mate who's a jeweller at Musson Jewellers, lovely Oliver Musson. So I went along and Oliver, and we sat down and we designed the ring together.
Did you?
And then I think when it was our anniversary, I took Jody along and I said, look, what do you like? Do you like the necklace? Do you like the bangle? Do you like the earrings? And she was like, oh, and mate, she's not silly, my wife. She said,
no.
I love all of them. What did I do? I bought all of them.
Did you buy a pearl necklace? Did she like pearls?
Well, considering we've got a daughter named Pearl, Sam, you can imagine that we're a big fan of that name, but I got her, I got her diamonds, pearls, rubies, gemstones. I'd get her whatever she wants. But, you know, can I just say...
She's bedawned.
The level of excitement that I've got around a visit from you two, and if you are here for a few days, then we can genuinely put something together, including I'd even be open to organising a bit of an opportunity for people to come along and have a beer with Sam and Don. I can choose a pub where I've got a mate who owns the pub.
Oh, you!
And I'd even be happy to throw a bit of money behind the bar. And
I got a feeling, Doc, you pay for absolutely nothing. You've got a friend who owns a pub, you've got a jeweller, you've got a bloke in the airlines, you've got a bloke who's... You're extraordinary. You're the contra king of the country.
Yeah, but I've got no one in the spanking industry. That's the problem. Terry can just help me out with a spanking station, then we can have it on the boat when you come to Sydney. So what about accommodation? What kind of accommodation would you be looking for?
We'll sleep in the Cadillac.
Oh, no, because you know who I met the other day? I met Sarah Derry, who is the CEO of Accor Hotels, and she is a wonderful woman.
Free accommodation?
Well, I'm sure I could do you a very good deal. Have I told you that I'm a part owner in a motel?
No.
But, mate, it's not the kind of place that would be up to your standards. So I think I'll have a talk to Accor, and I can help out in getting you a good booking. And, mate, I want to be able to take you boys out to dinner. I'd love you to meet the family. I'd love you to meet my radio team. I'd even get you in the studio here at 2GB in Sydney and have a bit of a chat in here.
This was my next question. If we come up on a Wednesday, could we do the podcast from the studio?
We can record it. We can record it all in this studio here at 2GB. Oh. So you guys don't have to bring the gear or anything. And all we do is we just record it. We've done that many times.
Oh.
And then we just either give you the USB, or we send a link to whoever you want it sent to. We can record the three parts, whatever you want. You've got full access to the 2GB studios. We would love to have you here.
Now, one final request. Could you get the bride to come in? Because we'd like to meet her. We'd like to just see how she's handling things, and she could see us at work and know that our tongue-in-cheek stuff...
I'd get her out on the boat. I think my best chance would be to say to Jody, how would you like to come out on a boat on Sydney Harbour so we can just celebrate our love? And then she turns up and you two idiots are there.
And she could be a grinder on the boat. You know, the one that they do those, they wind the sails
in
and out.
Yeah, I'm sure. I would really like you to come for a few days.
Well, can you get onto your mate Sam Fay and organise all this?
Sam Fay? I can talk to Sam about it. How do you know Sam?
Well, he's an avid listener.
Okay. Yeah, I can talk to Sam.
Have you been to any spanking parties with Jody?
No. But I will tell you a true story.
No.
Shut up, Don, please. He's telling
No. No, Sam senses there might be something just a little bit saucy coming up. Now, this is a true story.
Good.
I was once at a backyard gathering, right, and Jody wasn't there, right? And and I noticed there was a spa in the backyard, right? And I made an observation. I said, "Oh, you got a spa? Wow!" And the wife said, "Yes, we do." And then she said, "You know, sometimes we have parties here." And I said, "Oh yeah, yeah, that's good." And she said, "Look, the way it works is we don't do anything behind each other's back." And I said, "Oh yeah,
swingers."
She said, "Whatever I do, he knows about. Whatever he does, I know about. It's no secrets. You know what I mean?" And I went, "Yeah, I think I know what you mean." And she said, and then I could just kind of sense that a few other people watching my reaction to the whole thing. And I said, "Look," and this person happened to live in my street, right? So I just said, "Look, I'm the most open-minded person you'll ever come across. I'm so happy that you've got this arrangement in place, and go for your life. All I'd say is it's not my bag. And if it was my bag, I'd probably find people who don't live in my street to do this kind of thing with, if you know what I mean." Yeah. Because that's just a little bit too close to home. I mean, can you imagine
if you're getting involved in the
spa activity or the keys in the bowl or whatever, what do you do the next day when you're walking down the street with your kids?
I don't want to be
Can you imagine when you bump into people?
I don't want to be
And you've been bumping into them the night before.
I don't want to be exactly. I don't want to be too indelicate, Doc, but you wouldn't want to watch someone. You wouldn't want to watch someone throwing the leg with Jody, and you're not.
No, but
you wouldn't.
No, hang on.
Well, you wouldn't, would you?
I love you, boys.
Hey, see ya.
I'll talk to you soon. I can't wait to see you in Sydney.
Thank you, Doc.
I love you all.
Well, you wouldn't, Don. Hang on. Let's just get this off here. Hang on. Just make sure the doc's not on. You wouldn't, would you? Would you want to go to a swingers party and watch someone you're married to getting it off with your
best friend? There's people who do that type of thing, and it turns them on. So what? Well, each to his own, Johnny. Each to his own.
Now, Don, where are we up to? Christ, what's happened here?
Don't blaspheme.
Sorry, Don. What's happened here? I have no idea what's happened here now. Go on, speak. Do something.
Well, do you know Treads? Do you remember Treads are back in fashion? Do you know what Treads are?
Shoes.
Well done, though. Back in the early 70s or mid 70s, they were made of car tyres. The sole was a car tyre. And I just see on Facebook somebody sent me a picture. And if those people out there who don't know what Treads are, you can go, it's called treadshoes.com.au. And they were made out of car tyres. They were very popular. Popularised by the surfers. They used to use a Stanley
knife. Why are you mentioning this?
Because I used to manufacture them back in the 70s, and lo and behold, it's only a matter of time
before
it comes back in again.
Cyclical.
Is that what it's called?
Cycles. Goes in cycles. Cyclical.
Anyway, apparently Treads are coming back in again. So that's what? The 70s, that's nearly 50 years.
Yeah, nearly 50 years.
50 years and they may come back in again. God.
Barry Cable, I think, he's 50 years ago, someone said that he had an inappropriate relationship. 50 years, it's a long time to leave it, isn't it, before you bring it up. Anyhow, Don, and it happened to me, as I told you at the start of the broadcast.
And poor Prince Harry too, 22 years ago.
I was taken advantage of for a long time and still are being, and a bit annoyed now that it's dropped away. I'd like it to have continued. We've done Married at... there was one other thing I was going to mention, please. The Welcome Stranger.
You know the racism issue that's happened at the AFL with regard to Hawthorn?
I'm glad you said that.
Isn't it interesting? I reckon this is just going to die a natural death.
Of course.
Because Andrew Newbold, who was the president at Hawthorn at the time of this racism issue, supposedly surfaced... had to resign or step aside for a little while off the AFL commission. He's quietly come back in to the AFL And I would say that's an indication that this thing is dead and buried.
Yep, absolutely. Now, you mentioned, I didn't know what you were talking about the other day, you mentioned someone from North Melbourne who was cited for inappropriate contact with women. Was that Taryn Thomas?
That's right.
Right, so Taryn Thomas is... isn't it extraordinary, the double standards of the AFL? So they tore... what's DeGoey's name?
Jordan DeGoey.
They tore him a new one when he was accused of doing something at a revelry and merriment party. Michael Clarke was ripped a new one. Tim Payne, the Australian cricket captain, was sacked and cancelled because of some sexting thing that it was completely mutual between him and a friend. But I notice the AFL have been conspicuously silent on...
No, he's been suspended now.
Yeah, it's conspicuously silent about making a commentary or a narrative on it.
But he should have gone... I mentioned this two or three weeks ago.
You didn't know what you were talking about.
And he should have gone... to threaten to distribute someone's intimate picture is a jail sentence.
Have you heard the
12 months?
Have you heard the AFL come out and castigate the fact of his behaviour?
They've done nothing. It's been left to North Melbourne only because other women came forward. Yep. So the initial complaint they were going to do absolutely nothing about, let it just go. But he avoided. So-called justice. Now, other women have come forward. It's going to be very, very interesting.
The hypocrisy of those people is, and we have absolute first-hand experience of their hypocrisy and their single-minded treachery. They're a disgrace.
Was he charged by the police?
Threatening
to distribute intimate photograph?
You wouldn't know because no one will ever print it or announce it. Because in case they get singled out of being, diverse and inclusive and equitable. You just gotta giggle at the world we live in and just how blatantly biased they are.
I think the AFL did a pretty good job on Phil Egan too.
Smothering all that?
Well, the way...
Yes.
He's been discredited with an issue that happened so long ago.
Yep.
I just... Maybe I'm...
Say
wrong.
No more, Don. Say no more. The examples continue. Now, I tell you something that is becoming a real problem because I saw this and I thought, surely that person didn't say this. On Twitter now, you can engineer... This is becoming a scam. This is becoming very big in the social platforms. You can now engineer someone's image to have them say whatever you want to manipulate them saying. Their voice, their mouth, and their voice looks like it's coming from the talking head of the person. I'll show you one in a minute. A respected commentator over in America... has been, and I looked at it and I thought, Christ, is he, goodness me, is he saying that? And it is absolutely manipulated. It is very cleverly manipulated so that, Don, you could be sitting you could be filmed speaking on this podcast or somewhere and they can put words into your mouth so that, and your lip shape and your mouth shape looks exactly like you're saying it. It is your voice. It is modulated to your voice and they can say that you sit there and say disgraceful things about race or gender or... And people say... Because I looked at it, I'll show it to you after. I looked and I thought, God almighty, that man's not saying that. And then I realised, and they've done it with celebrities and people they want to trash. And the general simple-minded public Married at First Sight viewers, they look at it and they think, wow, that person said that, and it becomes into folklore and it becomes into the narrative of what those people have said, and the more you say, I didn't say that at all, it just falls on deaf ears. I'll show it to you, you won't believe it. And I've seen it happen before. They did it with... They've done it with... Meghan Markle. They've done it with Donald Trump. They've done it with commentators in America who they disagree with or who have a different opinion, and they have them saying things that you wouldn't believe, really disgraceful things, not just opinions, but downright untoward things that would get you put in jail if you said them. But they are allegedly... They look as though you are actually saying them. They're very cleverly done. I'm not sure what it's called. It's called not subliminal. It's called just auto engineering. It is. I'll show it to you after. You'll be staggered by it. So there we are. Now, anything else, Don?
I watch sport, and I watch sport for particular reasons, because I reckon in sport you can see the internal fortitude or
resilience, whatever
it is. I like looking at not for the sportsman actually doing the act, but what is actually coming out. And on the weekend, I went and watched the show jumping, probably the richest Grand Prix in Australia. It was worth $50,000. $15,000 went to the winner. They bought out. This is show jumping at Boneo Park. I know I talk about Boneo Park a bit, but it's a hidden treasure on the peninsula. And a young lady from Sydney came down. She was a very good junior, a young rider, since got married, had children, and made a comeback. Not a comeback, but she's now at the top level again. Her name is Jamie Winning. She won the Grand Prix. It was just a sensational round. She was very self-effacing, pointed to the horse, saying the horse did all the work. But this girl just rode a treat, and if it wasn't for her riding, that horse wouldn't have got over the jumps. The jumps were up to international standard. They were 1.60 metres in height.
1.60 metres
in height.
5 feet.
No, plus.
1.60 metres, 5'3".
Yeah, anyway, and the spread, now that's vertical height, but also the spread. You have a what we call a box parallel. The last fence, it caught a lot of people out. It was enormous box parallel. And the way she...
parallel.
Well, you got the top rail. The top rail is exactly the same as the front and back rail. So it's square and it's wide. It's about 2 metres wide. It could be a bit more. And the way this lady came around the corner to the fence, and that was the trick, coming around, negotiating a corner to get onto this big fence. And the way she rode that last fence, that horse ballooned, actually ballooned.
Ballooned. So
gave it so much height,
so
it was
equestrian,
unbelievable.
Equestrian is one of the few sports women compete on an equal basis with men. Because of their dexterity and their skill. Now, Don, I came out and watched you do a little fence jumping out at Werribee Park there one day, and I filmed you, and your horse jumped over barriers, I think, that were they more than a foot high? They're about a foot high. He stepped over it. He stepped over the barriers, and you came in bouncing up and down with your plums on the saddle there, belting you. Come over and you said, oh, the horse did well. It stepped over the barriers. Why don't you go over higher jumps?
Because you bring the horse up slowly. Oh, that horse is now jumping a little higher.
Well, it's,
he's up to about 1.15 metres.
Well, let's hope. Now, a friend of mine, Rob Caldwell, who used to accompany me on Street Talk, and he's a star and he's a writer, and he's writes scripts for things. I'm only mentioning him. He sent me this, I'm glad you mentioned it.
Why did he accompany you on Street Talk? I thought that was all you.
He was a producer.
Yeah, I thought that was all you on Street Talk.
What,
he was writing for you.
He wasn't writing. He is a writer. But one of his jobs was he was employed by Channel 9 to come with me on. He was a producer of the show.
Oh.
He didn't write anything for me. Well, maybe the stand-up bit that we did before he used to write, but I'd just say, what am I saying at the start of this? And he'd say this. But I did all the...
I thought that was all... I held you in esteem. I thought you did all... And you had John Moncrief protecting you.
Not protecting me, protecting the camera crew, just protecting people from being... trying to get their... So, Don, he sent me this, and I'm very glad you mentioned it because I would have forgotten it. This is what he said. The modern pentathlon has been part of the Olympic movement since 1912. Do you know what I'm going to say? The International Modern Pentathlon Union, the UPM, has confirmed horse riding will be dropped from the sport after the Paris Olympics in 2024. It comes after widespread criticism during Tokyo 2020 when Germany's modern pentathlon coach Kim Rosner was disqualified for hitting a horse. Did you know that?
Yes. And I saw the incident.
How could you possibly take the sport?
That horse just didn't want to go forward.
No.
And what those people do, they get on horses that are strange to them and they've got to get their act together in a couple of minutes. And it is a traditional sport. It's based on shooting, which was part of the...
I know that.
Oh.
No, I know what the pentathlon... How could you...
Did you know why why those particular disciplines are involved?
Well, I don't, but if I could...
Well, it's army. It was related to the army. There's swimming, there's running, there's shooting, fencing and horse riding.
Right, I'll take that on advisement, Don. Could you tell me why you would ban a part of the pentathlon because of someone's indiscretion? Well, why don't you ban him or fine him? How could you say the whole of the pentathlon people who ride horses are out of business because this bloke hit a horse?
The horse was on the verge of being very dangerous. It was piggy. It was going up and down on the one spot, and that horse needed a bit of a touch up to keep it going. It was a shocker.
Well, why hasn't there been universal condemnation of the fact because that people
you
get who train horses?
If you tell people what is wrong? That horse should never have been presented the way it was, and it's very difficult what the riders have got to do in that particular event. And that is an isolated incident, but the hue and cry about cruelty and whatever else.
And now, Rob says, very humorously, because this is why he's a good writer, he says, ask Don, do you think pillow fighting or drone racing as an alternative to horse riding should be entered or inserted into the modern pentathlon? Pillow fighting, you know.
What, you bite the pillow?
If you were in a different category, you could.
And what was the other one?
Drone racing. You know, get drones. They're drones. You manipulate them like it's a video game and they go buzz around and take photos of you at spanking parties and not pillow biting, pillow fighting, Don. So you could have big, strong men and women, or people, all non-binary people, belting the shit out of each other with pillows, and then they could all fall into a love heap and start biting the pillow, I reckon. I might join that. That is extraordinary, isn't it? That you can ban... I reckon that's just an excuse to get rid of all the trouble that horses... to float them and get them there and put them in quarantine. I reckon it's an excuse to just get rid of horses out of the sport. Out of the pentathlon. What's pentathlon mean? 5 or 10 or 8?
5, yeah.
Well, what are they sports? Shooting? Skiing?
No skiing.
All right, well, what are they?
Fencing.
Fencing. What?
Running. Swimming.
Pentathlon. Fencing. What, building a fence? What's that mean? Pentathlon.
Fencing. So.
come to point. Pentathlon. Events, here we are. A modern pentathlon. Come on. The events are... shit, come on. Speak, Don, while I'm looking this up.
Well, I've told you what the events are.
Each woman... This is woman. It has a hurdling, high jump, shot put, long...
That's decathlon.
Said pentathlon here. Pentathlon or women's or track and field. Yeah, all right, pentathlon. Well, where does it say that? What's pentathlon? There's more events, is there?
There's 5 events.
So I should be looking up horse pentathlon, should
no,
I?
No, just pentathlon, Olympic pentathlon.
I just looked it up. I just looked it up, Don. It said here... Modern pentathlon sports.
No, I don't.
Well, what do you mean? Where's horse riding in that? Go on, tell me. Oh, fuck, I don't know. I can't It said high jump, long jump, shot put.
Decathlon. Decathlon.
That's pentathlon. I'm looking at it here. It says pentathlon. You look it up, please. Look it up. I'll just chat on one more minute about it. Tell me what the pentathlon events are that have banned horse riding from. I would have thought it was over cross-country skiing, but I wouldn't know. So I think we'll go up. What we'll do is, Don, we'll get in the car and you can get someone to look after the horses for a couple of days and we'll drive up to Sydney. We'll do the podcast with Ben, with the doc.
In the studio?
No, in the back of the car. Yeah, in the studio. And then we'll drive out to your friend who's got the boat.
Sam.
Right. We'll drive out. You're looking it up while you're speaking? I'm only filling in while I'm asking you to look up. And we'll drive out to the boat and we'll get onto Comanche. And you can throw up over the side of it because you've got a queasy stomach. We'll go out over the harbour. We might have a light repair into a Japanese restaurant halfway across over at Doyle's or something. And then we'll have a bit of a tete-a-tete at night and we'll sit around drinking rum and whiskey and having schnapps and shots with Jody. Oh, and the doc.
No, Jody's not a rep for us.
But we're trying to get her to warm to us.
I don't think you are. You're not even getting to first base.
I'm trying to get her just to warm to us a bit. Well, and I don't think you'll
get to the batter's plate.
I was being tongue-in-cheek and mischievous when I said the doc goes to these swingers' parties. You wouldn't want anyone to watch Joe. And then he thought I was saying that would happen. Which, like you, if you took your missus along to a swingers' party, you wouldn't want to see someone jumping on top of her, would you, Don? Well, maybe you would. And I'd come along and watch it myself. So what's pentathlon? Come on, quickly.
Okay, I've got the events.
Right.
Individual for men.
Yep. Go on.
Just hold on. I can't do everything.
Come on, I've run out of things to say.
Why are horses being removed from pentathlon?
No, tell us the events, Don, please. There's five of them, is there? Come on, man.
It's taking a while to load.
Oh, bullshit. It comes up instantaneously. You got your
Olympic
fat...
consisting of freestyle swimming, equestrian, show jumping, pistol shooting, cross-country running. The event is inspired by the traditional held in ancient Olympics.
That's
the
five.
Modern pentathlon was first held in 1912.
That's
and
five
its rules
events.
Have changed several times over the years.
So that's five events, and the ones I read out are
consist
the women's...
of three separate events for fencing, swimming, equestrian, which determine each athlete's starting time in the final event. The last event is called the laser run.
So the Summer Olympics.
Of a laser pistol shooting followed by an
the Summer Olympics.
We won a gold medal, didn't we? We won a gold medal in this. A lady from Canberra, I think.
The Summer Olympics that I mentioned had high jump, long jump, shot put.
So
it's a
decathlon.
Different thing.
That's the decathlon. And we had a lady that won a gold medal. I'm sure Australia did.
What was her name?
I think she came from Canberra.
Shooter Jane.
No. Where was it? Anyway, it was recently, only a couple of Olympics
Shotgun
ago.
Nelly. A
couple
Did
of
she
Olympics
win it?
Ago.
All right, Don. Well, so horse riding's out of the Tokyo at the next
Which
Olympics.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, that's what I wanted you to say, but you took your long time. Why doesn't someone complain about that and take the bloke
aside?
Because
you haven't got the voice.
What the whole equestrian? All right, well, anyhow, it's been terrific, hasn't it?
Just crazy about